Adam, when are you going to get your first tap?
I don't think it's ever going to happen, Robert. It hasn't happened yet.
Half past never.
I'm 42. I don't really see it. You never know. I mean, never say never. But my body's too pretty. Why put anything on it, you know?
Yeah, that's true. But it's just like a decoration, an accessory, if you will. It's like bedazzling yourself.
Okay. All right. That's cool.
If you were to get a tat, I think for you just to be like on brand to pickleballs and like the grip of a paddle facing up, you know what I mean? Like with the grip of the paddle, you know, sandwiching the two balls.
Oh.
And it would have to be on your lower back. And
okay,
that's just my preference. I think that's what you should do. I think it would really suit you. Prop mine, I like it, but honestly, you have to be able to express your individuality.
Hey, strong start.
Because you know why?
Why?
Because it feels right. It feels right. Legendary. Look how we made it this far.
God.
Are you getting flashbacks right now?
Yeah, seriously.
To Prof and I just exploiting you, basically.
Yeah, I'm glad it's been a while since the three of us have been together because you guys do pick on me.
It's time for a visit.
Time
for a visit.
Be careful. Be careful.
Just me, you and Prof having some wine talking about how she's just the better partner.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, super. Well, it'll never be the three of
us again.
Sounds
like a blast, right?
It'll never be the three of us again, because if it does happen, there'll be a little nugget there.
Well, just wait till AJ's of speaking age, full sentence age, and he'll be right on par with Corinne and I.
Yeah, he can fill your role. That's fantastic.
Like, Daddy does nothing.
Oh my God, he does. He will. So, like, when I'm not home, and Corinne does her morning routine, he the places that he comes to look for me are in bed and on the toilet.
That tells you all you need to know.
Those are my two spots that he associates with me, is the toilet and bed. So, you know, whatever. What can you do? I mean,
at least he's looking, right?
Yeah, at least he's looking. That's right. At least he cares somewhere deep down. Robert, what's happening with you? What are you doing?
I'm in Florida. Just, you know, it's nice to be home. If I'll say that, it's good to not be going places right now. Mm-hmm. I've got a busy. Turns out I've got a busy October shaping up, similar to how August was, minus the overseas stuff. But it looks like it's going to be one place to the next, including going up to Coeur d'Alene with Selkirk to shoot some instructional stuff, which has been on the docket for a while. But it looks like it's happening.
Are you going to hang out with the crime dog?
Oh, I sure hope he's home. If he's there, of course.
He might be getting tats,
I don't know if
though.
It's a weekend.
Last I don't time know he was it's a weekend tats in L.A. I think I saw that too on his leg, new one on the quad.
He's going to be Machine Gun Kelly soon and just fully covered.
Yeah. I mean, why half, you know?
Yeah. If you're going to get tats, just go.
Hey, him and Jaume.
Adam, when are you going to get your first tat?
I don't think it's ever going to happen, Robert. It hasn't happened
half
yet.
Half past never. Yeah.
I'm 42. I don't really see it. You never know. I mean, never say never, but I think it's blank canvas. I'm just, my body's too pretty. Why put anything on it, you know?
Yeah, that's true. But it's just like a decoration, an accessory, if you will. It's like bedazzling yourself.
Okay. All right. That's cool.
If you were to get a tat, I think for you just to be like on brand, it would need to be like two pickleballs and like the grip of a paddle facing up. You know what I mean? Like,
oh God,
like with the grip of the paddle, you know, sandwiching the two balls.
Oh,
and it would have to be on your lower back. And
okay,
that's just my preference. I think that's what you should do. I think it would really suit you. Prof might not like it, but honestly, you have to be able to express your individuality.
Hey, strong start on IFR today. Let's go. we're really doing it. What are we? 3 minutes in, and we're talking about paddle
expressing
handle
your individuality
and balls tattoos. Mm. Okay.
Yeah.
Rob, I wanted to do just a little like light rundown of the rest of your schedule. So what is sure. left? What is left for APP?
APP, we've got. So I'll just give you a little rundown of my October as well. So APP, we have Dallas at, I think it's October 10th-ish, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Then I have a little corporate event in Vegas, like October 15th, 16th, 17th, something like that. And then I'm going straight to Coeur d'Alene, the 18th, 19th. And then I'm going to stay West Coast and go to APP SoCal in Newport Beach, which I believe is like October 24th.
Okay.
And then after that APP, I believe we have, there's one in Boca, maybe mid-November-ish. And then there's one in Fort Lauderdale at the newly minted Fort, the Fort, in
gotcha.
Mid-December.
So back-to-back Floridas to end the year for APP. Okay. All right. That's solid.
Which is, hey, that's good for Robert. That's home.
That's home.
That God, makes I'd never, it much... I'd never say Florida was home. That's,
yeah.
That's, I guess this is the second time I've lived in Florida in my life.
I hate that
shoot
place.
Me. Yeah, it's crazy. We've talked about it.
I hate the humidity.
The humidity. Yeah,
well, that's what it is.
I just have, I have flashbacks of you and I training and playing games and going through seven pairs of shoes and just squishy, squishy, squishies.
Squishy
with the socks
shoes.
And the shoes.
Ugh.
Oh, there's nothing worse. There's no, nothing
it's terrible.
Worse.
It's terrible.
Adam, but on the schedule, this was just sent to me. I don't know if you've seen this announcement, 14 September 2024, Pickleball World Rankings, invitation to express interest for the exclusive PWR Duper Indian League. Basically, this is a team league.
Mm-hmm.
It is allegedly the highest ever prize money seen in the world.
Okay.
It's in January 2025. So, I mean, that's not far off. And mm-hmm. you have to be available from January 6th to January 26th.
Oh.
And you're going to have six teams in this league, each two male, two female. So 12 male, 12 female total. And there's going to be a draft process. And the winning team, so the prize pool for the league is $540K. Distributed as the winning team is $45K per player.
Oh.
Runner-up is $30K per player, and all other teams each receive a guaranteed minimum of $15K per player for participating.
Wow. That's
all meals, accommodation, and travel during the league will be fully covered by the team's organizers. And the kicker, the exclusive participation, I'm not quite sure what this means, but players drafted for the teams in this league are required to participate in PWR events exclusively and cannot participate in any other pickleball leagues. I don't know if leagues is, you know, irreplaceable with tour, but it says cannot participate in any other pickleball leagues originating or based out of India or in events sanctioned by non-IPA associations during the contract period of 1 year starting January 1st, 2025 to 31st, December 2025.
Well, players lost can, me. However, that's easy to do.
Players can, however, continue to play MLP, PPA, NPL, Australia events.
But those players can't play the India thing. So that doesn't really matter, that last bit, I don't think.
I don't know if that's excluding like the US based players or not. We'll have to get some clarification there, but priority will be given to players having higher Duper ratings and PWR points. And the deadline for submitting your request of being in this process is 10 October 2024. So I mean, pretty interesting stuff happening in the international landscape. That's the team events. They're going to have a few of those, I hear, in 2025. And then they have a bunch of like 50K tournaments. But I do believe in March 2025 in Dubai, they're going to have a $1.5 million event.
That's chunky. That's chunky.
That's real chunky. Yeah. It's real chunky. And, I think there's ongoing stuff on who's going to be able to play a lot of this stuff. But man, that whets my appetite a little bit.
Yeah. Well, hope. I mean, you're a free agent, so hope as few people as possible can play. That just makes
nobody.
It makes it better. Definitely. No, those are some serious numbers and really not that far off. I know we have some, you have that as its own separate entity. Then you have, MLP in Australia. You got PPA doing some international, baby. That is, that's fantastic. So,
no, that's really cool. And that's going to pull, Adam, that's going to pull a lot of new players, that are very early in the process, probably of learning the sport, maybe come from tennis or other racket sports, badminton, et cetera. It's going to really motivate some people internationally. And I think we're going to see a solid wave of new international talent, which is awesome for the game.
International. It's good. It's just good. The more, the merrier. And then of course it's the trickle down effect. You get some pros, you get some results for some, different country players. And then that just, people see it. People like it. Yeah. Amateurs like it. Aspiring pros like it. And it's just builds the player pool. And that's a good, that's an everybody win situation. So I love the international stuff. And, to hear the chunkiness of that is pretty good. Pretty good.
I like how you're using chunky as like a positive. Chunky. That's nice, Adam.
Chunky,
I think,
prize pool.
Chunky. Like chunky's a good thing, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
It's good to be chunky.
Yeah, yeah. Believe me, it's good to be chunky. So, no, that's good stuff. Always on board with the international stuff, and we have an MLP New York coming up. After New York, three regular season events, and then there's two playoffs. Round one will be in Dallas. Round two will be in Orlando. Slowly getting towards the end of the season. And only about four or five PPAs as well, with the year-end championships being at the beginning of November. So we have some solid continental United States stuff all over the place for the rest of 2024. And then sounds like the beginning of 2025, we'll have some international stuff popping. So this is exciting.
Australia, right? Early in the year.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So it's not
very cool.
It's not just one entity doing it. Everybody's getting in the international market, and why not? Like I always say, there's a lot of people in India. There's a lot of people in Southeast Asia. Let's get them on board, baby. Let's get them on board.
And not only are there a lot of people there, but when there are involved and you're able to make money playing those games, what happens?
Oh, say that again. Oh, people get good
when
at
there,
it
when there's a lot of people. Yes. And there's money on the line for these said games. What happens?
Game/sports. People get real good, and they go all
real
in.
Good.
They get real good. Like I said,
yes.
Video games.
People get real good when there's not money on the line. So Parcheesi. You put money on the line.
Chinese checkers. Backgammon. Backgammon. Yeah. Mahjong. Whatever. They're gonna get good, especially when there's money to be had. Because you're right. They'll get good otherwise. So, pretty wild stuff and very exciting times in the landscape of things. Robert, did you watch any pickle this past weekend?
Sure did. Watch some pickle. It's always fun. It's always fun to see upsets.
That's
especially in a best of five, Adam.
Yeah,
like that's really solidified.
Makes it more difficult. That's the American way. So if you're, it's lonely on the top. So people want to see upsets. They want to see that action. And it was a good weekend for that. So, it was very nice. Yeah. And Robert, I was on the mic for the first time ever as play by play. And I had Rob Cassidy next to me, Cobb Rassidy, his alter ego.
Yes.
Rob was there, and, I didn't realize this. So you and Rob Cassidy made a final of a PPA event. Is that true?
Yeah, that was Dallas, Texas. Yeah, I think that was Texas.
Fantastic.
Where, it was, just it's achieving the impossible, Adam. Not everybody can do it. And I was, Adam, believe it or not, I was
just another day.
I was one game away from going to two finals on Championship Sunday.
Oh wow. This was in mixed, I take it, or singles?
No, buddy, singles.
Singles. Singles,
I
Robert.
It was a semifinal. I was playing J-Dub, and I beat him first game, like, pretty easily. But, you know, you're playing all this in one day. I'd be a beast in progression. But this is, you know, this is third or fourth match in. Robert's tired. He's done. I just absolutely ran out of gas after I won the first game against J-Dub, and then the second game was close, and then he just drubbed me in the third game. But one game away, Adam, from two Championship Sundays, which would have been silly.
Yeah, kids don't get tired. That's a tough break in game three for you. I still remember the 17-15 game one against Tyler Leung, 4 years ago, and when your knee kind of exploded. And that was the beginning of the end of your singles career, I think. But I know you can stripe a groundy. I know you can.
That was literally maybe the day that COVID happened.
No, it was. last tournament. The last tournament was the California Open, like an unaffiliated tournament with anything.
In March.
And basically shut it down. That's when I went to North Carolina, and they haven't been able to get rid of me since. So it's been, that's good nostalgia there. Good old school results. I will have to say, play-by-play is very different than analyst role. It's a whole different routine.
I think more responsibility, right?
Yes, I kind of panicked a couple times. I definitely talked too much. I mean, I always talk a lot, but I feel like it was elevated. But it was fun to get in there with Rob Cassidy and kind of get it going. So, it was a good time.
People don't necessarily need the – people get – like, pro commentators get so mad when I, like, critique this stuff, but –
Any names you want to use?
No, we don't need people want casual conversation, you know, which is why you and Rob are great together. Cause it doesn't need to be buttoned up and professional. Again, mm-hmm. We're out here hitting wiffle balls with all kinds of paddles that have been manipulated, and, you know, some made more poppy than others, some with more grit than others. Like, it's crazy. It's chaos. Like, we're talking about pickleball. It's a wiffle ball, a ball that has holes in it. That's plastic. That's yellow. My God, dude. Like, let's just shoot.
It's just wild. Like, there's plenty of positive remarks and positive feedback, but it just seems that the people that don't like it just hate it so much and just, like, blow it up. Like, way more than the people that like it. So,
yeah,
you know, that internet's
like,
silly,
it's like restaurant,
it's a silly
reviews,
place,
right?
Yeah, that's right. That's true. Yeah, nice. I had a nice meal, and then there's a novel about the person who didn't like the service or didn't like the sauce that came with their chicken or whatever the case may be. So, no, I'm with you. Pickleball in between the lines, not solved. Neither is commentary. We always talk about it, but it was a good run with Cassidy, and maybe I'll squeeze in that play-by-play role a little bit better next time. But, I mean, lots of action. I mean, we'll just start off with number 20 seed Hunter Johnson, men's singles, the field with the most parity. Granted, he probably shouldn't be a 20 seed, but made a run all the way through, played some really nice pickleball. Guy's got great spin and power on both forehand and backhand, and he got it done and gave a couple pretty emotional interviews. After his semifinal, I think he was a little choked up. And then after the final, you could definitely feel the energy and the emotion coming from him. Gave a little shout out to his boy, Thomas Wilson, who, of course, we want to be back soon, as soon as possible. But it was kind of cool to see how much it meant to him. I know the guys, he plays every event. He's been putting in the work, and, you know, to break through in a major in Atlanta is pretty cool.
100%. And it's interesting, right? Because he's not a stranger to the podium in singles.
Right.
Over the past couple of years, right? So, that's what sports is all about. It's, you know, when people care, and it's been my big question mark with the PPA, right? Even with this being a major, even with it with there being more points on the line, it's, you know, everybody's getting their salary, right? So it's like, you know, to see that there actually is stuff on the line for the players is important, I think. And it shows that's what people want to watch. People want to watch a match where it really matters to that player if they're winning or not, you know, not just casual, like, you know, the who gives a shit kind of attitude is not super attractive. It's doesn't make the viewing experience more entertaining. Like we have to have stakes, right? And, you know, part of the stakes is, you know, it can be prize money, but it could also just be how much a player wants it and, you know, what it means to them. So
yeah,
really cool.
Yeah, no, I agree. That's congratulations, Hunter. And also played a pretty fun match. I mean, I could watch Julian Arnold and Matt Wright play each other all day. I mean, it was relatively early on. I think it was like quarterfinals or something like that.
Let's just get skinny singles going. Skinny singles with those two. Like that's all they do. That's all they do for their salary. Just show up and play skinny singles against each other. You're both mic'd.
so good. So nice tournament for Hunter. And very, very funny crap talk between Julian and Matt. And normally, I think the numbers don't lie. I think Julian has got the bad end of that matchup, but not this time. So Julian yeah. Arnold, solid win there with Hunter Johnson. And of course, let's just go right into it. Anna Brighton Rachel Rohrabacher with a big win. And it wasn't just like a very tight four games. It was 11-9 in the game they lost, and then pretty comfortable wins against Annalie Waters and Catherine Parento in the other three. And AB solid throughout, but Rachel Rohrabacher stepped up her game to a new level. Power, spin, placement, not missing the simple stuff. They played fantastic, and I mean, there was like a extended firefight, about 10 shots each, and then just in the middle of it, Rohrabacher just rolls this backhand cross court for an easy, clean winner. I'm not sure if I've ever quite seen a shot like that, given what the lead up was to it. So that just kind of summed up their whole performance. Very impressive.
Super impressive. Yeah, and the fact that they were coming out on top of the majority of those firefights was very different to see. You know, Rachel was countering Anna Lee and hitting clean counter winners on her, which you don't see very often. Usually if Anna Lee is speeding up at a spot, she knows where your options are to go, and she's there already. She might not do a lot with it, but it's all calculated, right? It's yeah. calculated because she speeds up so much. She knows the spots that she can go where she's not going to absolutely get burned. In this match, she absolutely got burned. She was speeding up in the spots where she usually can, and they were countering, and Rachel was doing a fantastic job putting that thing away.
Yeah, so whether it was the initial counter from Rachel or the initial speed up from her, you yeah. could see a somewhat awkward paddle position for Anna Lee, which is almost unheard of. So she would be kind of jammed up or squeezed or not perfectly in her strike zone, which normally her combinations, her reload, and whatever else from Anna Lee is almost perfect. And she's hitting the ball the same every time, even if it's a little bit of a lunge or whatever. But this was something different. And it was the power that of Rachel Rohrabacher that caused that. And also just slightly exposed from Catherine Parento. So great consistency from Catherine. She doesn't miss a lot, but you can occasionally blow her up. And I haven't seen that in a while. She's been yeah. handling herself nicely in the firefights for months now. But this time there was some blow up status going on, and they got it done. Very, very nice performance.
Looks like she was leaving some balls a little high too.
She was
a little uncharacteristically high.
Yeah, you're right.
Which usually she's able to, you know, keep those margins slim, but looks like it was popping a bit, and the ladies took advantage. So yeah, big win. Very obviously, it's fun to see upsets. I think it's going to take obviously a lot more than this to yeah. to be worried for Anna Lee and Catherine, but yeah. great to see.
I don't know if you know this, but I haven't checked a bag since probably 2005. So I'm going on 20 years of no check bags. I only carry on. And what's made that really easy for me over the past couple years are Selkirk backpacks. Because little do people know, you get a personal item in a carry-on on most carriers, and both items are big backpacks. I carry them on. I fill both of them to the brim, and they both count as carry-ons. So I don't have to check a bag. It's important.
No, I'm right there with you. And see that's the big boy. And I am past my playing days, so I do one big boy and one little smaller fella here that I can take with me from the hotel to the venue every single day. Leave the big boy there. Don't check bags. Get yourself some Selkirk gear. Small, medium, big. You need it.
I don't have the small. I need the small. Somebody send me the small. But yeah, you're right, because I can put my little laptop and I don't have to take the big one. It's important. Selkirk, send me a small. I'll buy it.
Oh, wow.
Uh-oh, AJ time.
Come on. Get your 15 seconds of fame here. AJ, you come up here, buddy. Look at that guy. Who is that, Mr. A? Oh, look at mom. Oh, furrow your brow. Furrow your brow, AJ. Who is that? What's that guy doing?
Got it.
Yeah, good stuff. All right. Hey, AJ, great run, buddy.
What a little angel. Off.
What a little guy. You did great, pal. You did great. What were we talking about?
Don't know, but let's
move on.
I don't know.
Let's move on. Yeah. Well, okay. So, Catherine, a little bit exposed. Let's switch over to the men's doubles semifinal leading into Championship Sunday, and actually it was a similar situation with Dylan Frazier, and I have not said that a lot. So JW Johnson, Dylan Frazier playing Jaume Martinez Vic and Tyson McGuffin in the semifinals, and it was a very nice game plan and sticking to the game plan for Jaume and Tyson, especially Jaume straight up from Dylan. So I've actually been saying this for a little while now. Dylan's hands are amazing. They're so good from chest to knee, but he's not great at letting the ball go. So you can actually go high and hard at him and have some success. And that's what we saw. And the key here, Rob, which I think can kind of lead into the tip of the day, is when Dylan got Jaume a couple times with counters, Jaume didn't stop. He kept speeding up off the bounce. It was a clear cut game plan from him and Tyson to attack Dylan frivolously. And even when Dylan, I believe it was maybe at the beginning of game two, kind of had some go his way, Jaume kept his foot on the gas, stuck with the game plan, and they were able to beat the number one seeds in two games.
Yeah, I think we've talked about it, not necessarily recently, but great weekend from Tyson. You know, he's consistently, you know, we talk about, you know, where he lacks, but where he doesn't lack is he knows the game really well. He's a good strategist. He knows the spots you can get guys. He studies the game. He breaks down film. He really minimizes his weaknesses and makes a ton of balls. And it leads to a lot of wins.
Yeah, Championship Sunday in men's semifinal and mixed with Lacey Schneeman. So, TM, man, just continuing to get it done. And as I was saying about the tip of the day, is be careful going away from a solid strategy if it doesn't work out a couple times. And I do believe we've talked about this before, but it's so easy in the moment. If you have a well-crafted, you know, thoughtful strategy going into a match and your opponent happens to be on a couple of your speed ups and hits a great counter and you lose the point, don't go away from it. If they do it 15 times, sure, let's make an adjustment. But if there's a reason why you're doing something, it doesn't work out a couple times in a small sample size, stick with it and make sure that it's not the right strategy before you go away from it. And that takes a little while, at least a couple handfuls of points, to kind of get enough information and data to go away from that strategy.
Yeah, I think it's really smart. And I don't think it's a bad play to not intentionally lose kind of the first beat ups that you're looking at. But if I'm on the forehand side, you know, my bread and butter, I would say, is going kind of cross body up to somebody's right armpit, like slow. So what I like to do for the first one is just go in line. I don't even really particularly care if I win that point. I just don't want that person sitting. I don't want them sitting on that forehand there. So show line, even if it's one, two, you know, feeling out like how hard are they sitting on that forehand. But, you know, if they're sitting on it and they're not going away from it, just keep speeding up line, even if you're losing the point. So it opens up that armpit, that right side.
So it's like so, two line, who cares what happens, and then seven crossbody, yep. which is your strength.
100%.
So I like that. So yeah, of course.
It's a constant chess game of like, right. It's not about you. I lose that first speed up on the backhand side down the line. I don't care. It's like, but I think a lot of amateur players, that's what they're thinking about is like, oh, it didn't work, I'm done. But you have to be thinking, you know, percentage wise throughout the course of a match, not percentage wise in that one shot. So, you know, going down 0-3 in those first three speed ups, if you go line and then it opens up to where you're winning the next five body or middle, worth it.
Worth it. No, it's a good point. Yeah, it's always a back and forth. And it is a little tough to know, to recognize when to switch back over or to see kind of where your opponent is leaning on those initial speed ups and where they're looking for the ball. But these are the things, if you want to take it to the next level, these are the things you have to notice in the moment and kind of get a beat and a read on that so that you can kind of have your optimum frequencies on the spots that you're going moving forward. So I think that that's a great point and just a little tidbit for, you know, some of those amateur 4-0 plus players that could kind of work that into their game.
Yeah, and just know, guys, like when you're dinking cross court and you're going to the outside of their body, you're opening up a lot more options for them to hurt you, which is why you see pros go to middle, like inside foot so often. Mm-hmm. If you pull me out wide on my forehand, I have an angle to go line, and you're pulled out wide straight ahead of me, so you're covering a line a little bit more. So you're already leaning to the left if you're right in front of me, if I'm on the right. Which if you're leaning left, I can go across your body and kind of catch you leaning to the left. I can go middle even more. I can roll a dink cross court, which your partner's pinching middle. You just create so many options for your opponent when you dink them out wide. So I think, and that's one thing you see so often still, Adam, at the amateur level is, you know, going backhand to backhand wide, going forehand to forehand wide. And it's all you're doing is, you know, at higher levels, that's going to really get you into trouble. So as best as you can, mix it in occasionally, sure, because you might get a pop-up when you have them moving while they're dinking. But for the most part, try to stay at that inside foot.
Yeah, and another thing also is when I am playing the right and I get spread out wide to my forehand, especially in men's doubles, that allows me to get the player in front of me with their backhand extended. So these guys cover their chest so well, and they really punch that counterattack. And sure, guys have some two-handed backhand counters now, and they've gotten a little bit better at it. But I think it's a big deal. If you don't give me fully out wide, I cannot get you extended to where I can win. If I'm going to attack your backhand and the ball's not fully out wide, I'm going right here to my opponent, and that's a problem. So, sure, I agree with you. Don't not go there, mix it in, but don't just hit five in a row or seven in a row to that spot if you're getting hurt by your opponent, because they do have those offensive opportunities from that position, you know, especially as you creep up the ranks of level. So couldn't agree more. And okay, last note for the PPA this last week. And so we had the Johns brothers back on top and Colin playing a hint more aggressive and having some more speed ups, funneling the ball over to little bro, and also having some success himself with some combinations. And I know that this was insanely long ago, but I actually played left with Colin at a PPA event early on. And this is the style that Colin played. He has a pretty solid forehand off the bounce speed up. And he can put it to a couple different locations, and he's pretty good at hitting that forehand speed up and then sitting on his backhand for the next ball. So kind of a combination. So I love this adjustment from Colin, amping up the aggression. I'm not saying he's Gabe Tardio out there or Christian Alshon from the right, but he didn't just fall into that comfortable make everything pattern, let partner do his thing. He took it to some of these teams, and that was good to see from him.
Yeah, it's a requirement, right? Adjustment wise, it's, you know, what they were doing wasn't working, the same game style. So this is a perfect example of the game evolving and teams having to evolve based on opponents getting better and seeing the court in a different way and trying new strategies. So good adjustment, and I would expect to continue to see probably more aggression on that right.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, this was like 3 years ago. I get it. But Colin, man, he was eating up Riley Newman. And this is not like Riley's had a little resurgence the last you know, few tournaments. But this was when Riley was elite, you know, like a clear-cut number two type men's doubles player. And Colin was just beating him line and getting pop-ups off of his speed-ups and doing his thing. So I've always known and thought that it was in there. But at the same time, I get it. So much success for Colin just bunting the ball over and getting wins that way. Nice to see him come out of his comfort zone a little bit and do his thing. So nice performance by him. And, you know, the drought is over for that team. And we'll see what happens these last couple tournaments of the year, if that was possibly a fluke and they go back to having some early losses, or they stick with this and maybe get two or three more titles the rest of the year. Fun times, really, in men's doubles with the parity really kicking up, and, you know, and not being just knowing what's going to happen that we have seen at chunks of time in the past. So also, Rob, we had a little close call replay system. So
oh, yeah.
Very nice to have those cameras. There was a little bit of rumblings about the actual rule, which had nothing to do with the cameras or the close call replay system, but this kind of rule where if 25, regardless of where the ball is contacting the court, if 25% of the ball is over the line or more, that ball is considered in. And I think the point of the rule was to lean more towards in calls than out calls, but there was some rumblings and some talk amongst the players and the fans about that particular rule for the new cameras. Did you see that, or what do you think about that situation?
Yeah, I don't think it's a one size fits all. I think, you know, a ball on a dink is very different than a ball on an overhead. You know, you can say that the ball doesn't compress at all, but it does. Like, it's not a, you know, it's not that hard of plastic. The ball will change shape. That's why balls go out of round. So a ball that you crank on an overhead, it will, you know, you watch the tennis Hawkeye, like it leaves like a trail, right?
Looks like a little comet. Like a skid, yeah.
Yeah. And that's, of course, not happening to the same extent, but at the same time, It's a plastic ball, and it's on concrete, essentially. It will also have that little slide effect, you know, to an extent. So, I think it's a different scenario for the different shot, right? Like if you're hitting a soft dink where it's truly just going to land on its center point at the bottom. Yeah, but if it's a hard hit ball, I think it's got a longer trail. So.
No, gotcha. And I actually shout out to Eddie and Kyle Salenko, who have brought this technology. I actually saw them after the semifinal Saturday matches at the hotel restaurant, sat with them for a little bit. And Kyle has done a little bit of research, and he said, if you just hold the ball head high and drop it, the ball actually compresses more than when you hit an overhead, like deep in the court, that skids. So,
you have the trail, just, you have the
it's
skid.
Like, exactly. So but, it's like,
yeah,
just the fact that it's landing flat, that makes it compress a little bit more. And when it's skidding through and not just kind of hitting that ground perpendicular and flush, it actually makes doesn't compress as much. So, you know, haven't figured it out perfect yet, but the bottom line is the cameras are good and they called it the same. So it was consistent. It was consistent with what was going on. And I actually think we saw a decent amount of overrules just because the players are so good at tracking the ball. And they thought some of these were out. And the rules kind of allow it to lean more towards being in. So we saw quite a few overturns. But it was consistent. The cameras were good. We had good shots of the lines, which is the most important thing. Who knows if this exact rule will stick or they'll change it up or whatever. But it was a great development either way.
You know who it didn't help, Adam?
Who's that?
DJ Young.
What happened?
In singles.
What did he do?
He posted. I guess he was on a court that didn't have before. I don't know, but he was playing Lung, and he screenshotted probably three or four balls that were, you know, clearly in that Lung called out. So, you know, can't win them all. Can't win them all.
Yeah.
But also, DJ stopped playing singles, you know.
Right, but I believe that was like first round, and I heard it was pretty juicy, and there was like some fan heckling, and it was a pretty heated match. I did not see the screenshots from DJ, but I don't know. I have played Tyler Lung a lot, and I don't really remember thinking that I was getting ripped a lot, but it seems like a decent amount of players disagree with me. I know Travis Rettmeyer has just flat out said it publicly that that he's had some issues there. So I did not see that from DJ Young. Love DJ. Good buddies off court with DJ, so that's too bad. You know,
stop
maybe
playing singles.
Easy fix. easy fix. Just don't play singles. You know, it's that simple. So
just relax.
Just relax, man. DJ, don't
when's,
do it.
When's so New York's this week?
Yes, it is. It starts Thursday, I believe. And
you're going?
No, I'm not. The SoCal Hard Eights are not playing. So we play. We had quite a few early round matches or early tournament matches. So no New York or no Miami for the SoCal Hard Eights. So it's actually with the rankings, there's a discrepancy in matches played. So the next couple tournaments will really kind of get everyone on the same level. So we'll see how the points stack up and which teams are in the hunt, not in the hunt, et cetera. So, I clearly love MLP. Very excited to, you know, hopefully little baby AJ allows me to get some watching in this weekend. But I mean, Central Park, I mean, New York.
That's cool.
Good vibes. Been a little while since we've had an MLP. I think it's been two or three PPA since we've had an MLP. So let's go. Should be fun.
And it's just a standalone, right? There's no tour event.
No, that's correct. So there's a back-to-back MLP PPA in Virginia Beach the following weekend and week. But this one is just MLP in New York. No piggyback situation. Hey, Rob, did you see a tweet where they were talking about Mookie Betts? So Mookie Betts had he was in the outfield. So that's what they're doing in MLB games now. They're in the outfield and they talk to him for like half an inning. You know, sometimes it can be a few minutes. And Mookie Betts like was talking about pickleball the whole time. He was just like, I just roll up to parks by myself and just get in games. Sick. He says he loves it. He says it's frustrating, but a wonderful game, which is perfect. I totally agree. Yep. And he talked about baseball for like 15% of the time. The other 85% was just pickle talk. So I saw that. I mean, that is – Mookie Betts is the man. The dude's an absolute stud.
So good.
I believe he has an MVP, and he's just always at the top of the stats for Major League Baseball, and this man wanted to talk pickle. That is what's up. Mookie,
just
I'll play with you
anytime.
Rolling
up to local parks.
Just roll it up.
Yeah, no kidding.
Just getting some touches in. I thought that was pretty awesome. I mean, that is like – I'm a baseball guy, so that was just amazing to see. And I know he's not the only one of these high-end other sport athletes that likes playing a little pickleball in between whatever training, cross training, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah. Yep. No, it's the sport of choice for other pro athletes.
Yeah, love to see it. Well, my notes are out.
Yeah.
You got anything else, Robert?
No, this was fantastic. I was about to say funtastic, which
fantastic.
It was fantastic as well. But
it always
I have
is.
Nothing else, Adam. This was lovely. Excited to watch a little pickle in New York City. That's going to be fun. Mm-hmm. And then are you going to Virginia Beach?
I will be going to both Virginia beaches. So I believe MLP is first. So I'm going to go a couple of days early.
And you get to drive, Adam.
I do get to drive. It's a route about 3 hours, a little bit over for me. So
easy.
So I get to, yeah. And you know, it's tough on the West Coast and the piggyback events. I'm on the East Coast, so I kind of have to stay. It'll be nice to come home for a day or two in between, see little baby AJ, and I guess seeing Corinne is nice too. we'll just go from there. So I'm a fan of pickleball. So anytime I like my job, I like working, but anytime I can just watch some pickle and just be in full fan mode, I am all for it.
We need Prof back on the pod eventually soon. Is she still playing at all? Is she still watching and keeping up?
Kind of, sort of. So we're about to start. There's like a group of like four or five pluses in the area, and a couple quality players mixed in. The Gilberts, they play. Mm-hmm. They're pretty good. And we're gonna go and be like 2-1. So she'll play a game, I'll watch the kid, and then we'll just kind of go back and forth. So we're going to start getting in the mix. Okay, Robert.
Nice.
I do have one more thing that I forgot about. So we had a medical timeout and for like 15 minutes, and they were running kind of pre-done clips at the PPA event, and they were asking pros who would be on your pickleball Mount Rushmore. So that's four presidents, and this is sure players can be on there, but it was more like a whole kind of body of work, you know, maybe some founding father situation, maybe some people that have done great things for the game, and maybe some pros, which however way you interpret it. Do you have any thoughts on who might be on yours?
Well, you got to have the creator. So I'd have Joel Pritchard on there. Probably have Steve Kuhn on there.
Okay.
I'd have Rob and Mike Barnes on there.
Okay. All right.
That was perfect. Nice. That's perfect.
That was Rob absolutely perfect. Yeah. Boom, boom. That was a good throw. I don't know.
Are there four?
I think there's four. Yes. I think there's four. So a couple people that I thought of, one was John Gullo, who started Tournament of Champions and actually put together the first pro league. It didn't quite make it, the PPF. So I think that is someone. And I also actually like putting Simone Jargim on there. I think that she was one of the first ladies to go that style of new age pickleball. So when she burst onto the scene, it was still pretty structured, dinky, dunky, women's doubles, and Simone really changed the way the game was played, and one of the first ladies that played the new age style, and she's also done a ton of teaching and a ton of that kind of stuff. So you pair those two together, I think it's pretty reasonable that she would be on there. But I like it. Steve Kuhn, he got a lot of this going. I know, unfortunately, you know, with the tour wars and everything, that he's not as involved as he once was, but he got a lot going. Some people said Connor Pardo for putting the PPA together, but these are guys that have kind of
Ken Herman too.
Yeah. So, we're the pro pickleball, but not be what it was without all of those guys. So I think they all get a little chunk of credit because pro tours are legit and kind of where we're at right now. You know, it's tough to pick four, but I think all those names we mentioned make a lot of sense.
Yeah.
All right.
A lot of people to give credit to in this.
For sure.
And it's going to keep changing too. I mean, there's going to be what we have now. Whatever's going to happen internationally, that's going to be a big name too. So.
Sure. Totally agree. So there's a lot of pieces of the pie and people that deserve credit, but I think you absolutely have to put Joel Pritchard on there. I mean, invented the game. That's pretty easy one. So, all right. No, that was good. Just, I thought some of the pros had some good answers.
It's a great question.
I thought about it with Rob Cassidy and so it was fun to kind of ponder all that stuff. So, all right, buddy, good way to finish here. We're about 45 minutes into this sucker. That's perfect time to stop.
Beauty. Till next week. Adios, guys.
Peace.